I want to read in the book of Deuteronomy, first of all, chapter 31. I know when I was a young believer sitting in these conferences, not just maybe here at J.O., though I have been here years ago when I was younger, but even going back to the days at Sunset Community Center, and one whole line as well, way back to the days of the Marvel Community Center, too. I used to hear men get up and say, "Now I'm going to direct my remarks today to the young people, young Christians." And you always kind of felt a bit exposed by these men who stated, quite emphatically, they're going to direct their remarks to those that are young. Well, what goes around comes around, I guess. And my exercise here for this time is especially to speak to those that are young in years. It doesn't mean I'm that old myself, but I just would like to read some scriptures here as the Lord leads us, that have to do with words of counsel for those that are young. Now let's read in Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 1. It says, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day, and I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And here's what we have in mind, really, in verse 7. "And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong, and of a good courage, for thou must go with his people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." So there's two points I just want to select out of the reading here regarding Moses' words to Joshua. The first one is be strong. And the second one is be of a good courage. Now, let's read secondly in the book of 1 Chronicles and chapter 28. First Chronicles, and the 28th chapter. And reading together from verse number 6, First Chronicles 28, verse 6. "And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts." This is David speaking. "For I have chosen him to be my son, and I'll be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments to this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So the first reading was in connection with Moses and Joshua. The second one now is in connection with David and Solomon. The two things that were said by David to Solomon were, first of all, know thou the God of thy father, and secondly, serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Now, last of all, let's read in the New Testament book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Our brother Meekin just skirted the reading. I wasn't going to read for the first part of the chapter, but we're going to read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and beginning from verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now, my distinct impression was, as a young believer in those earlier times, was that the men that would rise to speak to us in the conferences, who preface their remarks by saying they're going to address it now to those that are young, was that they had a care for the well-being of young believers, both young men and young women. I hope that comes across today by all the men that stand to speak. I take three men in biblical times. And what they did was that they had a view of what lay ahead. Moses could see that the land lay before the people. He wasn't going over. David looked and realized there was something to be built to house the ark that he wasn't going to build. And the life of the Apostle Paul, his work was just about completed. And yet he realized there was yet a work to be done. And so we have here, first of all, our men with a view to the future, who in turn realize the value of establishing rapport with those that are young. And I believe it's to our detriment, those that take the lead in any sphere of service in the local assembly or in the work of the gospel, just to allow things to drift on and not to lay hands, as it were, under God upon young men and even young sisters that desire to go on for God. And I hope that there's those that are here at the conference. You've come to the conference perhaps with an interest in hearing God's voice to your heart and to your soul, and that there might be an openness as the Word of God is ministered to you by those that have a care and by those that want to take younger ones and try to encourage them in the ways that be in Christ, suggestive of the Lamb, in regards to the house of God, the dwelling place of God here. And I trust in regards to the great work of the gospel, of which we are lax many times, too comfortable, too resigned to just doing our own thing. And yet, here were older men who sought to pass on counsel to younger ones. What was it that Moses gave to Joshua in view of what lay ahead? It was a necessity of being strong. That's something that's found in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That is something within the believer that is needed in days of crisis, days of conflict, and days of compromise. There needs to be young men and young women that have strength to stand for the right when the wrong is popular. We've already had alluded to in Philippians chapter 4, the tremendous words again of the apostle. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And what the young Christian needs to understand is that the strength that comes to stand for what is right and stand for God is not within my own power. Paul is saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, I am self-sufficient only in Christ's sufficiency. And thy trust today and at the conference, there may be a presentation to every heart, young and old, of the strength that comes from dependence upon our Christ, the one who is alive. The Lord could say, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, when I am weak, I am strong. And so I trust, young brother or young sister, here this afternoon, there may be an appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ who is alive. And it wants to make you strong in his strength and take that length of yours to be used for his honor and for his glory. Back in Nehemiah chapter 8, we read, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so in the measure that we enjoy the Lord and the goodness of the Lord to us, we can be strong. The eunuch of old, as he was baptized, he went in his way rejoicing. And Ethiopia was never again the same because of one man who went on his way rejoicing in the obedience to God's word. And if you want to be strong, you can pray like David of old. If there's that which has come into your life that has robbed you of your joy, like David of old, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. I believe it can happen at a conference. There can be lives revolutionized as we realize how far we strayed from the Lord and from the happiness we once had in Christ and in service and in obedience. Isaiah writes, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as like eagles' wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so in the measure that I learn to be patient and to wait on the Lord, in whatever experience I'm in right now, because I believe amongst those that are young, there are decisions that are going to be made maybe at the conference that may certainly affect your future. Wait in the Lord. Your strength will be renewed. And you'll be able as a young brother or young sister to soar like the eagle. And as we mature, we run. We don't get weary. And as we get older, we can walk and not faint. We learn to wait in the Lord who can give us the strength that we need. In the same book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 30, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And so there's something to be said in the quietness of meditation, quietness of musing upon God's things. that in turn can give strength to those that are young in years. And I speak from experience. I recall even years ago, even being in a conference and sitting, listening to the ministry of the Word of God, and I regret the times that things seemed to go over my head and there wasn't the attention paid to what the brethren were seeking to speak to us about. Listen, young man, these days, these critical days of assembly testimony in this city and in this world are days when men, young men, need to get acquainted with the Lord and take time to ponder the truths of Scripture. Don't waste your days. Don't waste your time. It's in quietness and confidence that you'll find you'll be strong. As you spend time learning God's words, listening to our learned men, men that have spent years in the Word, they come and they speak to our hearts concerning what it means to serve the Lord Christ, and to look on the fields that are white and ready to harvest, and to realize the value of assembly testimony in a time when it's being assailed on every hand. You'll be strong. Even as Joshua needed to be in view of his work in the land, you'll find that the quietness and confidence that is so vital and so necessary to make you a strong young man or a strong young woman. These quiet times are times when we learn God and prepare for even the service that He has ahead of us. But I'm thinking in terms of the words of Eliphaz in Job chapter 4. He says concerning Job, "Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees." I get strength from the person of Christ. I get strength from the joy of salvation. I get strength in the measure I wait on the Lord. I get strength in the measure that I'm quiet before Him. But in connection with the man called Job, Eliphaz says, "Thou hast strengthened the weak hands and the feeble knees." We get strength, young brother, young sister, from godly men that have sought to speak to us and sought to strengthen us in the Word and in the Lord. I look back over the years. There are empty seats that are here. Personally, I have sadness. I share with many of our brothers and sisters that are those that have passed on. But you see, there are those sisters and those brothers, and they have sought to strengthen us. They have sought to help us. When men amongst us in local assembly capacity speak unto us the Word of God, what are they doing? They're seeking to instill in your young heart and minds a reverence for God's truths, a reverence for God's principles, a reverence for God's house, a reverence in turn for God's people. May it be that men that have left us especially, who have ministered unto us the Word of God, who have left behind for us a legacy of truth, have left it in the hearts and minds of young believers in Christ, who in turn will meet the challenge, if the Lord tarries, for the day and age and the future that lies before us, if we're spared. And so, here's Moses' great words to Joshua. He says, "Be strong." And I suggest the greatest need of every heart today is this inner strength that God provides for those that want to be strong. And then He says, "And be of good courage." What happened? Eventually Joshua's time came. Joshua was a companion of Moses. When the time came, Joshua was the man that God looked to lead the people over Jordan. He was courageous as they faced the foe of Jericho. There was a man that God had prepared who was strong and who was victorious under God with God's people to defeat the enemy. I'm not going to think that there are days ahead in Christian experience when young men and young women will be reliable and dependable in the things of God, will stand against the enemy and face the foe and be victorious. But that's chapter 6 of Joshua. Chapter 7 is different. They are routed. And so Joshua goes in and finds the course has been altered. And sin has come in and has hindered the progress of God's people. And Joshua must be courageous now in times of sin to face wrong and deal with sin under God, amongst God's people. Young brother, young sister today, sin is lightly looked on in the world. I would like to think that there's no sin that's hindering God's progress, God's power amongst us. But like Joshua of old, there must be men that stand at the forefront and go forth to battle. But in times of crisis are satisfied under God to deal with what is wrong. And so the young man Joshua, who is counseled by Moses to be strong and of a good courage, was a man in turn that God could look to lead his people through and on into the lands of Canaan, to establish ground for God. And may God help you young men here that are listening, and young women as well this afternoon. The Lord tarries, the assembly life in this part of the world will depend upon you. Don't waste your time. Don't get off on bypath meadows. Don't get so ensnared in the things of this world that you're no use to God or God's people. For God needs young men and young women to be strong and of a good courage to face the future as it lies before us and to be reliable in times of great crisis conditions. I think of David with his son. It was with Joshua, a companion, that he counseled. With David, here's a father with his boy in view of the temple of God. Now it's wonderful when the heritage of God is passed on. When a father can live and act in such a way that his son takes in from him the counsel and the teachings that he himself has lived by and some have even passed on with. Every father will love to see his boy going on well for God. And I'm sure as David looked over all the boys that he had, he realized in turn that God had given him a special boy in Solomon. He being a man of war, God prohibited from building the temple. Solomon, a man of peace, was the man that God chose to do the task. What was David's words to Solomon in relation to the temple? Know God. Know the God of thy father. Now I'm sure if I mention certain names here today, I mentioned to the young folk one time, I said, I happen to know that Pavel Bure is not a drink. Now some didn't know who Pavel Bure was. I'm sure if I mention some of those names to especially young folk here today, they would be able to tell anybody who wanted to know a lot about their backgrounds. We could list lots of current names that are on the papers. You know them. I don't know much about them. The great question is today, and I speak to those that are young, do you know God? Paul goes back to an experience. As he writes his final letter, he says, I know whom I have believed. The Apostle Paul never forgot the encounter on the Damascus Road. As from heaven he heard the voice, he bowed low. He was radically transformed by a personal encounter with the Christ of God. And he showed his transformation by one simple statement I've noted recently in Acts chapter 9 and verse 8 is that they led him by the hand. One of the first traits in the life of Saul of Tarsus was his teachableness. His willingness to be led by others. And I suggest for us all that that's maintained. We can grow and go on for God. And so, as I think about David speaking to his boy, know the God of thy fathers. Paul said, I know whom. And yet 30 years after he was converted, his great aspiration was that I might know him. And Paul longs to get a knowledge of God. Get a knowledge of the Lord. Suggested to us of Peter's words concerning the holy priest. We are a holy priesthood in the house of God to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Paul was coming in before going out at Jerusalem. And young brother, today your greatest need right now is to develop as a holy priest, to get to know the Lord in the sanctuary and spend time learning Christ, functioning in your priestly capacity within the temple of God. In the house of God, its behavior. In the temple of God, its purity. And so when we come in, we need to have a knowledge of the God that we worship and that we love and that we speak to, whether it be in collective prayer on a midweek meeting nights, or in the distinct privilege of worship on Lord's Day morning. There needs to be that getting to know God in private and in the secret of your own room to rise and turn out of an appreciation for the one you've come to know intimately day by day. And you worship him in spirit and in truth. But then the knowledge of God also leads us, as David suggests to Solomon, and serve him. That's the royal priest of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. That's the going out of Paul in Acts chapter 9, going out at Jerusalem. And sometimes we get so busy serving him and so busy doing for him, we don't have the time to quiet ourselves in his presence. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. You won't get to know God until you're quiet. And as David spoke to Solomon regarding his counsel, regarding the building of the temple, his counsel was, first of all, to know the God of thy father, and in turn to serve him. May God help you at this conference, not only to be strong within, and full of courage externally to do for God whatever must be done, but in turn heed the counsel of the Father for his boy, instilling in his heart the importance of Godward worship and appreciation through the knowledge of God, but in turn fill your hands for service, and that you'll leave such an occasion as this conference with, in turn, my hands full, my heart overflowing, my love for Christ seen in my life and even by my lips. But then last of all, I'm thinking of Paul's words to Timothy. The first one was a companion. The second one was his child, his son. But last of all, we have here a man with his converse. You follow through 1 Timothy chapter, or the chapters of 1 Timothy, you find that constantly Paul has been charging Timothy. Charge some that teach some other doctrine. I charge and command, that's chapter 4. Charge them that are rich. And so forth. But here Paul concludes in chapter 4 with a charge. What is it? What is it that the father in the faith in turn is going to instill in his son? In view of the work of the Lord. He says, I charge thee, preach the word. The word we are to hold, chapter 1, verse 13. The word we are to rightly divide, chapter 2. That word that is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction. That word that is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction, is in turn now the word that Timothy is to take and preach. And that is why we've got no other recourse but to get back to what God's word says. And to realize that this is the way God has spoken to us in the first epistle of Timothy. It's the house of God with its many facets. He speaks in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy regarding doctrinal behavior. Chapter 2, individual behavior. Chapter 3, spiritual behavior. Chapter 4, practical behavior. Chapter 5, social behavior. And chapter 6, financial behavior. That are all consistent with conduct and behavior in God's house. The second epistle, he speaks of the man of God. House of God, the man of God. And he brings the man of God right down to this council in view of conditions of that day and in the future. He should preach the word. That word that tells you what is right, that tells you what is wrong, tells in turn how to get right and tells you how to keep right, is what Paul would instruct his son of the faith to do. Preach the word. And the idea of being in season, out of season, is whether it's acceptable in that time or not. Whether it's relevant today or not, supposedly, we're to preach the word. And that's why the Bible is so vital. And I say, it's very sad. And I've been in a few meetings, and somebody says, now, what chapter is it tonight? One time, the man opening the chapters of the Bible reading this particular night said, well, I think it's chapter 7 or chapter 8. And a young Christian spoke up and said it's chapter 9. You see, we need to attach a value to the word. You know the truth. The truth will make you free. That's knowing the truth. John says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. And believe you me, it's wonderful to see when there are young Christians and older ones as well. They've been involved with, maybe seen them saved. And to come back someday and to see them walking in the truth. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 23, by the truth. And some here paid it a great price for the truth of God. But here Paul teaches Timothy now, he says, you preach the truth. And that's exactly where we are today. We are being confronted with all kinds of opinions and all kinds of suggestions. But I suggest this, get back to the book. And the apostles counsel to Timothy, preach the word. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. In other words, the word of God is that which would cut us and speak to us about our conduct and expose before God. It deals with our feet and the course we're heading on. And when we are stopped, when the heart is touched and the mind is affected, in turn, the will can be exhorted. the turn from a course of life that is away from God. And so here's Paul's counsel to the young man, preach the word. Then he says, secondly, watch in all things. Now some have suggested to us that would be moral alertness. Be sober in light of the conditions around. I believe it has to do also with the preceding verses, that we must watch and be sober in relation to our handling and turn of the word, and allow that word to be suited to us and to fit our present needs. And so if there's any question as to who I should marry, then God's word is very clear regarding the yoking together of believers and the wrong of yoking together a believer and a non-believer. When it comes in turn to my conduct in the world, we've heard already this morning or this afternoon, walk honestly. So you see, before the unsaved, there needs to be a conduct that is above reproach. And as men lead the flock of God, there to be men that are blameless, without reproach. Men that can rise up and give dignity to God's words. And so Paul says now to Timothy, in view of the maintenance of the faith, he says now, watch in all things. And so there's moral and doctrinal alertness that must be evident in the lives of young believers especially, and for us all. He says, endure afflictions. And so sometimes there is a cost to standing for doctrinal purity and for adherence to God's word. He says, do the work of the evangelist. Timothy, these are the end times. Preach, watch, endure, do. Doesn't say he's going to be an evangelist, but he says now, do the work of the evangelist. In other words, keep busy at the gospel. There's time this morning, I'd like to kind of sort of jump in there and, try to get ourselves motivated in this regard. I stayed in the home for a couple of weeks in meetings now in Kamloops. And the couple I stayed with, an older couple, retired. Every Thursday morning, they go down to the mission. They bring down some food, and the man is there, and he has a little word to the men. And so I thought, we went down, and we were there on a couple of occasions, speaking to the men. And by and by, announcement was made for the men that were there, like to come to the meetings. So we had a number of nights where there were some men that were from that area of town that came along to the gospel meetings. I thought to myself, now, here's a retired couple, and they have dedicated themselves to this type of gospel activity. Another man in the same assembly in Kamloops has made his business to visit a senior citizens complex and to talk to the people of that development and to give out literature and to speak to souls. And so, an 82-year-old man, after one meeting, wanted us to have dropped by for a visit. He said, man, I might as well tell you. He said, what I want you here for today is I want to be saved. He said, I'm just right near the end. He said, I just hope I'm not going to miss it. One Christian man showing care and concern for another. What do you do for God in the course of 7 days? We're not calling everybody to leave here and go off to some remote island or some distant lands. All we're saying here is we take the words of the apostle as counsel to Timothy, do something evangelistic. Suppose you visit your neighbor with a Via magazine. Suppose you visit the families of your Sunday school children. But every saint in these last days, in relation to the work of the gospel, should have some bent towards giving out the good news of Christ as Savior. He says, last of all, make full proof of thy ministry. Don't be half-hearted, young brother, in the things of God. You put all you've got into it. A man called Jim Elliot said one time, and I'm getting myself, when I think about way back in 56 when he was speared to death on the banks of Kira River in Ecuador. Jim Elliot said in his weddings. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And I would like to think of the conference here. There's young lives that might get a vision for what's eternal. The things seen are temporal. The ball, the allurements of the world with all it has to offer, these things are transitory, they're passing. But the things that you can't see, they are eternal. And so may God help us to heed counsel of men that had a vision, had a care for the young, and that you might respond to the challenge in God's word and the counsel given to others in other times, and that you might be strong and of good courage. You might come to know God and serve Him. You might preach the word. You might watch and endure and do and fulfill in view of a day of reckoning to come.